You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. We begin today in Baghdad, where we're joined live from Baghdad by the BBC correspondent Jim Muir. Jim, we saw a bloody day in Baghdad yesterday, 61 people killed in the final count. There's a military offensive underway by the Iraqi military in Diyala province, and perhaps not a surprise, but a change in leadership on the U.S. military side. All three of those things begin with the province of Diyala, where there's an offensive underway. Is this symbolic, or are there tactical goals in this offensive?
Well, from what we're being told, it's a lot more than symbolic. It's a major attempt to bring this whole province of Diyala, which has remained very trouble-stricken despite the fact that the situation's improved in most of the country over the last year, to bring it completely under control as part of the overall campaign that's been going on for more than a year now called Imposing the Law. In other words, to bring the area under direct control of the Iraqi government with, of course, the help of U.S. troops. So what's happening is that they've taken a whole bunch of extra troops and police up from Baghdad and top officers as well. And they are now overseeing a big operation there. It's involving combing the regional capital, Baquba, which has seen many bombings and attacks in the last year, and also outlying areas. And they do have specific, what they call targeted individuals or whatever, suspects, wanted men that they're trying to get hold of. And the whole idea this time, and it has been, the preparations have been largely kept secret, the idea this time is to catch the insurgents or the Al-Qaeda leaders they believe are in the area, rather than making such a fanfare in advance that they have plenty of time to escape, which is what's happened in the past.
Let's look at the tactics here. In the first tentative offensives by Iraqi forces, the U.S. would typically lead, or the coalition forces would lead. There'd be heavy coalition air support, and the Iraqi troops would take up support positions or possibly in the rear. How has that changed in the years since Iraqi forces have gotten more experienced at this kind of thing?
Well, things have moved on quite a bit. It's basically largely Iraqi forces who are in the forefront of these operations nowadays, with the Americans more in a kind of logistical backup role. Of course, they do have combat troops there on the ground, and they do have air support to be brought in if necessary. But as the events down in Basra showed, for example, in the spring, that was an operation launched by the Iraqi government without the Americans even really knowing about it. Now, that's not to say this is like that at all. No, the Americans are deeply involved, but the whole idea these days is to try and get the Iraqis to be standing up, to be doing it for themselves with help where necessary, but not with the Americans completely in there doing the basic job while the Iraqis look on.
Let's shift to the carnage yesterday. You mentioned that in the sort of blunt calculus of bloodshed in Baghdad, that there were signs that Al-Qaeda or the insurgency has a limited ability to carry out civilian attacks because these were foot suicide bombers as opposed to vehicle bombings. Is there any sense, because these were targeted at pilgrims, Shiite pilgrims, at least in the Baghdad attack, that religious violence is being inflamed now as we head into the next several months?
That's clearly the intention of the people carrying out these attacks, because these are sectarian attacks, presumably carried out by Sunnis against Shiites who are carrying out their religious rituals. So you can't get much more sectarian than that. In the past, these attacks, which have been very numerous on Shiite religious gatherings, have triggered spirals of sectarian violence, with especially the Shiite militias hitting back. Now the feeling is that there is a very limited ability by the Shiite militias to do that. They're very much on the run themselves. Since the spring, the government forces and, of course, the Americans have been moving very strongly against them. So the feeling is that that spiral of sectarian violence is still potentially there, but that the means for pursuing it have been greatly diminished, so that these attacks, which are on a lesser scale than they used to be and much less frequent than they used to be, at the moment they seem to be being largely contained.
Well, one can scarcely imagine the extent to which people of Baghdad are deadened by all of this. Finally, General Dierno takes over from Petraeus, who's off to CENTCOM. What's the practical sort of sense of that shift in Baghdad, if there is any? It's certainly not a surprise.
It's not a surprise, and it had been expected. But I think everybody does credit General Petraeus with a lot of the progress that has been made, and specifically also his partnership with Ryan Crocker, the U.S. ambassador here. They've worked really in harness together as a team in a way that hadn't really been that apparent before. So I think people will obviously miss General Petraeus. But with Ray Odierno, of course, they've got a man who knows Iraq very well, who has worked with General Petraeus. So I think the sense is that there will be a continuity there. We're not going to see any abrupt changing of tactics. I think very much in the same line with the same strategies and tactics.
Well, a man who knows Iraq very well. Jim Muir, thank you very much for being with us.
Most welcome.
Jim Muir, BBC correspondent, joining us live from Baghdad.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.